What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Fast and Flow podcast. I'm your host, Fast and Flow, otherwise known as Catherine Kelly, your running bestie, a New York City-based long-distance runner and certified personal trainer, and I also work in corporate strategy at a fitness company, so we are all things fitness over here. We're 2 weeks out from the New York Marathon, which is honestly crazy. I can't believe it. I'm getting very excited, and I want to talk today about what I'm doing my final 2 weeks for the taper. But before we get into it, obviously have to do a life update. I went home to Long Island this weekend, which was honestly so nice. We did our 20 miles in the rain again yesterday on Saturday. Mileage felt great. Legs are obviously sore from the high mileage, but this was the last week of high mileage, and now we're going down from here. So I did about 64 miles this week, and now we're going down. But it was just insane that it's rained, honestly, every single Saturday. Like, I actually cannot fathom how that is possible. My only hope is that we are paying our dues up front now and doing all of our long runs in the rain. And then by the time it gets to marathon day, we're going to have beautiful weather. I'm putting that out into the universe. Either way, it's going to be an amazing day. But I just feel like a nice day is coming down the pipeline for us. I really feel that. So yeah, last long run done. The next week will just be 12 miles, but I'll actually talk about that more in my taper plan. But we also did a little bit of fall festivities today. We went to a pumpkin patch and we picked out some pumpkins we're going to bring back to the city with us. And we ended up going through a corn maze, which was honestly really insane. Like, it was very intricate. It was shaped like an alien, and they basically handed us this map at the beginning. We're like, this is a map of the course, which was like, literally, it was crazy. Like, it was not right angles. The whole thing was swirly and twirly, and I honestly don't know how kids made it out of there. If I wasn't with Brett, I think it would have taken me, honest to God, 2 hours, but it took us about 30 minutes because Brett was, he was just so on one. Like, he was so good at knowing where we were on the map. I was so lost, and the whole thing was very muddy because obviously it rained yesterday, and these corn stalks are like 10 feet tall, so you obviously can't see over them. It was insane. There were families in there, like with their kids in wagons and strollers, and I do not know how they were doing it. Major props to them, but it was super fun. We obviously made our way out. We got some pumpkins, and then we went and got a little lunch. We just had a really nice afternoon. It was really nice being out of the city because I think when I'm in the city, even on the weekend, I just am always thinking about all of the things I have to do around the apartment, all of the errands I have to do, like laundry, groceries, and everything. And like, yeah, that obviously still has to get done, but I work from home, so I do have a little bit more leeway to just do laundry on a Monday, for example, instead of on a Sunday. And it was nice to just be able to take Sunday to completely relax. My mom came home. We went on a long walk just before this, and we've been with the two dogs. My mom has a dog too, so Lily and Lucy. And it's just honestly been fun. Brett and I have got to play house a little bit because we had this big house to ourselves with the two dogs and a car, and we were just going all around because my mom was out of town, so we were watching her dog too. But it was a really, really beautiful weekend. Fall weather is definitely settling in now, which I'm not mad about. I feel like I definitely am more of a summer girl, like spring summer girl at heart, than a fall winter girl. But all of the seasons come every year, and there's honestly no point in trying to hope that it was like a different temperature or a different time of year. Like, this is always all going to come. So the mindset that I'm taking this year is just embracing each new season and every new week as it comes, and like trying to find the positives in that. And like, I definitely am somebody who, I think as many people are, prone to seasonal depression, especially I run outside a lot. And so it starts to get very cold, very dark. Like, there's not as many people going to run club. There's not as many races that people are training for, myself included. And so it definitely does get harder. But I was even talking to my mom today, and I was saying one of my friends and I want to do pottery over the winter. I want to get more into cooking over the winter, maybe do some sort of book club thing, or just get more into reading in general, do some boutique fitness classes that are strength focused instead of running focused, and like really just think about all the cool things I can do that are not running related and actually soak up all of that time and be looking forward to it and be making the most out of it rather than wishing it was like back to summer and I was training again. Like, you know, you kind of just have to enjoy everything as it comes and feel like it's just like life moves in seasons, like literal seasons. And that's going to keep happening year after year after year. And instead of spending so much time fighting against the season that we're in, I'm like, yeah, I'm embracing like the fall clothing vibe and I'm getting some Uggs and like, I don't know, you know, just cute stuff. And I think the older I get, the more I want to do things that I did again when I was a child, which is so funny. It's like when you're a child, you love going to the pumpkin patch. You love decorating the house for the holidays. You love like getting a Christmas tree and like all of these things. And then when you're a teenager, you're like, ah, I don't really care about that stuff. That stuff's dumb. But now I'm like circling all the way back around to, wait, I actually want to do those things, like bring those traditions back and like create new traditions. Like once I have a family and like, I'm really looking forward to all those things, like seeing the little kids at the pumpkin patch today. I was like, that is probably a huge dopamine surge. Like they walk into this huge pumpkin patch. There's a playground, there's a corn maze, there's wagon rides, there's candy apples. They are probably like living their best life. And isn't it so cute to be able to make those memories? But anyway, yeah, had a really, really fun day today. Yesterday, I actually tried to make this pumpkin, olive oil pumpkin cake. It honestly ended up tasting good, but it just did not look good. Like I definitely burnt it. I am not good at baking. Like baking is a science. You have to follow things to a T. The temperatures have to be perfect. The amounts have to be perfect. The order in which you mix things in has to be perfect. Like people who are good bakers, I am so impressed. I truly am, because that is not easy to do at all. And I really am not that good at it. Like, I don't know the last time I had a successful baking endeavor. So I just stick to most of the eating and not the actual baking. But I do think where I can get really into is cooking, because I feel like cooking is a little bit more lenient. It's like, oh, okay, like you cook the steak for one extra minute. Okay, is it going to be the best steak you've ever had? Maybe not. It's not like perfect, but it's like still going to be like really good. Whereas like if you mess one thing up with baking, I don't know why. I just feel like the stakes are much higher. Like it just completely messes up the entire texture of like the cake or the cookie. So anyway, that's my whole spiel. But let's actually get into the topic of today's episode right now, which is what I'm doing for my taper plan. We're 2 weeks out from New York, so I just thought this would be really timely for other people who are running New York. But I want to caveat this with saying like taper is so specific to the individual. The ultimate goal of the taper is you want to be feeling obviously just ready to go and really good on race day so that you can have your strongest race possible. That's what we all want. But how we achieve that is definitely different by individual. So I'm just going to walk you through what I've been doing and then what I'm changing during the taper. So for the past, I would say 6 weeks or so, I've been going about 60 to 70 miles per week. I've been doing 2 full speed workouts per week, 1 long tempo run, which has been about 8 to 10 miles at marathon pace, and then 1 track workout, which has been, you know, like 800 meter repeats or mile repeats or 1,000 meter repeats. I did that on Thursday. And then a long run that kept increasing in distance. I did 3 20-mile runs and I did 1 23-mile run. So I've definitely gotten up there consistently in the mileage. Now, we're 2 weeks out. I just did my last 20-mile run. What I'm going to be doing from here is decreasing my mileage pretty significantly the next 2 weeks leading up to the marathon. And I'm also going to be decreasing my speed work. So instead of doing both Tuesday and Thursday, I'm only going to do Tuesday. And I'm going to be doing a tempo run for the next 2 Tuesdays. But my actual mileage is only going to be about 4 to 5 miles at marathon pace versus the 10 miles that I was doing the several weeks prior. So that's already a huge reduction. And then I'm doing no track workout. So I'm not going to be doing anything faster than my marathon pace anymore because there's no need to do that. So that's going to be a huge reduction. And then my long run next weekend is only going to be 12 miles. And the rest of my runs are going to be very easy. My total mileage is going to go from about 70 miles to maybe around 45 to 50 this week, and then drop even more next week to probably like something in the 20s before I run my marathon. So it's really not going to be a lot. I'm honestly very, very much so going to play it by ear. I, for my body, believe that it actually is helpful for me to keep my schedule. So if I'm running 5 to 6 days a week, I'm going to keep running 5 to 6 days a week. Like I'm not going to cut that out because my body really thrives off of routine. So when it's used to running every day, it's used to running every day. And then when I stop for several consecutive days in a row, I feel like my body goes into this deep repair mode. I don't know what the actual science is behind it, but it's actually harder for me to run. Like if I take 3 days off, it's harder for me to run after that, which is so odd. I'm sure there's some sort of inflection point where if it's like, okay, if I took 2 weeks off, then I would feel really strong again. But there's some point in the middle there. Like if I only take a couple days off, my body just feels like it goes into this like deep repair and recovery mode because it's like, oh, we're done running now. So let me repair all of the damage that you've done. I don't know what the science behind that is, but that's just how I feel. So I actually want to just keep my routine because my body's very used to being in the routine of the runs that I've been doing for the past like 16 weeks at this point. So I don't want to break that, but it's just going to be pretty much all easy runs and a lot less mileage. Like I'm not going to be going out for a 12-mile run. I'll maybe run 6 miles instead on like a Thursday. You know what I mean? So it's just going to be like that, but definitely taking it day by day, just seeing how my body feels. At this point, you can do more harm than good. Like you heard that right. You can do more harm than good. It's actually better to like just do less. And I think that's difficult. It's going to be very difficult for me because I'm somebody who always wants to be working towards my goals, putting in the work, doing hard things that are going to make me better and make me grow. But it's like, that's already all been done, which is amazing. I'm so proud of the training block that I put in. Like, I feel so strong, so confident. I've never felt this confident before in myself before a race. And I know I'm going to obviously start getting very nervous and freak out beforehand. And again, like, who knows what's actually going to happen on race day because there's so many different factors that are unrelated to your training block, but I can confidently say I put everything I had into this training block and I followed it to a T. I didn't skip any workouts. Well, there were workouts that I planned to skip because I was traveling, but like I didn't let myself skip a workout because I was too tired or too sore. Like I went through everything and I'm really proud of the consistency and how I showed up for myself every single day. And yeah, I just cannot wait. I'm actually so excited to race. I think, you know, when you're at a good point, when you feel excited to race and not like, oh my gosh, like I've been training for way too long, I'm not even excited for this race anymore. Like you definitely don't want to be at that point. So if you are at that point, hopefully you can actually take your foot off the pedal a little bit and the taper will make you feel a lot better and then make you really excited to put in a hard effort again. But yeah, I'm feeling really, really excited. And I think I've also been reading a little bit about, you know, the proper way to actually fuel the week leading up to the marathon and then a couple days before the marathon. And again, I'm not a nutritionist or dietitian, but this is just kind of what I've learned and what I'm going to be following loosely. But I think we've all heard of carbo loading. You obviously want to get as much glycogen stored in your body as possible. When you eat carbohydrates, your body stores those molecules as glycogen in your muscles and liver cells. On a normal day-to-day basis, you have some level of glycogen that's stored. If you actually carbo load correctly, you can nearly double the amount of glycogen that's stored in your body, which is amazing because it's going to allow you to perform much better on race day. But you can't really do this in just one meal, like just by eating one big meal, that's not going to double your glycogen storage, which is why for the week leading up to the race, what I'm going to be doing is not like changing my calories or anything, but just reallocating the percentage split of my calories more towards carbohydrates and away from protein and fats. So not cutting out any of those groups or anything, but just tweaking slightly, like maybe adding 5 to 10% more carbohydrates and taking those calories out of protein and fat so that I can build up my glycogen stores. And I just want to be intentional about doing that for the week before the race. And then I think, you know, obviously people are like, oh, that whole pregame meal, like eat a huge bowl of pasta the night before you race. For me personally, since we have to wake up at 4 a.m, eating a huge meal, just like a huge bowl of pasta the night before, does not sit well in my stomach. It does not make me feel good when I wake up at 4 a.m. It makes me feel ill. So I'm going to be eating my biggest meal the Friday, which is 2 nights before. And then I'm going to eat obviously another big meal or just eat all throughout the day on Saturday, but eat early in the day. Like I want to be pretty much done eating by like 5 p.m. so that I have enough time to digest and wake up in the morning and eat breakfast at literally 4 a.m. So you just like, that's not normal. Like normally I would be eating breakfast at like maybe 10 a.m. So it's like you have to kind of keep that in mind, especially if you're somebody with a sensitive stomach. There have been several long run weekends where we've gone out to dinner on Friday night late and had dinner at like 9 or 9:30 p.m. and I do not feel that well in the morning, and I end up having to go to the bathroom while I'm doing my long run, and I do not want that to happen at all. And so for me, it really is helpful if I can eat my meal. Like, dinner is normally my largest meal, so I just gonna eat that at like 4 p.m. literally, like actually 4 p.m. so that I can eat breakfast again at 4 a.m. Because I want to be able to eat breakfast, and I want to honestly just like feel good and not feel so like lethargic and bloated and heavy. So yeah, just like really the 2 days beforehand, I'm going to focus on eating a ton, and a lot of carbohydrates, and it's all going to be good. But I think the main thing is like, you don't have to go overboard. You don't have to like gorge yourself or like stuff yourself. It's more of just like, as I said, tweaking the percentage split of your calories more towards carbohydrates. And you can do that in a way that doesn't make you feel sick, but it'll give you some really nice glycogen storage in your body. And another thing I actually learned on that is for every ounce of glycogen that your body stores, it also has to store 3 ounces of water. So you likely will gain weight the week before your marathon if you are tweaking your diet more towards carbohydrates, which is a good thing. It's a healthy thing, and you will sweat that out. That's just water. It's your body retaining water so that it can hold the glycogen. You'll sweat that out as you run the race. So it's like really nothing to worry about at all. And like, if your goal is to perform, your goal is to perform. Okay. And I'm also speaking to myself when I say this, because it's like, oh, well, I'm in such good shape and I don't want to do that, blah, blah, blah. No. Okay. We're putting a stop to that. We are going out to perform, and we're going to do what we have to do. And that is the healthy thing to do. So anyway, or that's the healthy thing for me to do. I never want to like say that what people do is right or wrong, but I'm just giving you my general overview of what I'm going to be doing. And then in terms of strength training, I am not going to train legs for the next 2 weeks. It's just like too risky for me. I guess I mean, I'm not going to do anything with weights on my legs. Like, I might do some body weight squats or lunges or just like little banded squats or something like that, just to, if I want to just like keep my glutes firing and just like get everything, like make sure that everything is feeling good, feeling lubricated, that my knees are feeling good, my hips and everything. So, but I'm not going to do like heavy weights or probably weights at all on my legs. I'm gonna honestly just keep doing upper body and core. That doesn't really affect the way I run too much. So I'm gonna keep doing that for this week. But next week, I am also going to be conscious about doing everything, even upper body and core, because obviously you're swinging your arms back and forth, you're engaging your core the entire time you're running. So it's like, I just don't want to be feeling sore. Like, I want my body to feel really, really good. So I'm also just going to be very conscious about that, not doing anything with like heavy weight, even if it's upper body or like back and chest. Like, I just don't want to do anything with too heavy of weight. So that's that. And I also am just going to be telling myself that what I'm doing is actually beneficial and that I need to rest at this point because I've done all of the hard work, but the hard work is not going to pay off unless I rest. Like I want all of the hard work and all of the runs that I've pushed through and like really grinded through to pay off, but that's not going to happen if I'm sore on race day. So I actually can't go and do anything too crazy because otherwise it won't be worth it. And I'm just telling myself that because I know, again, as I said at the beginning, like, and as I'm sure you can tell by my personality and on social media and everything, that's how I am in real life. But I very much so am somebody who really likes to go hard in the paint. I like to push really hard. I like to achieve goals. And so it's like we have to keep the broader goal in mind, which is absolutely crushing the New York Marathon. And the best thing to do now is take my foot off the pedal and enjoy this time. Lay low, go for some walks, read a book, whatever. Keep taking care of myself, but don't try not to get the taper tantrums. I know that can happen and it's okay. The last thing I just actually wanted to quickly touch on before I end the episode, which is not related to tapering, but I don't think I'm going to make another podcast episode on this until like after the marathon. I just want to get this information out because I think it's timely, but just fueling for the marathon, like during the marathon, I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to be doing in case it's helpful. But again, this is so trial and error. You really have to figure out what works for you. But basically when I wake up in the morning at like 4 a.m., I'm going to make myself a bowl of oatmeal with either strawberries and peanut butter or banana and peanut butter, and then an almond milk latte. I do that every single time. That's what I'm going to have in the morning. And then I'm going to take probably a scratch Rice Krispie with me and a scratch those gummy gels with me on the ferry. So if I want to eat those on the ferry or eat those while I'm waiting in the Start Village, I can. If I don't want to, that's fine, but I'll have them with me for some quick carbohydrates. And then I'm going to be taking the Science and Sport gels, like CIS gels. That's what they're going to have on the course at the New York Marathon. I'm going to bring four of those with me. They're kind of bigger because they have water in them, which is great because you don't have to worry about taking them with water, which is super helpful because a lot of the other gels, if you don't take them with water, you can like really mess your stomach up and have to go to the bathroom during the race, which is not ideal. So I have spandex that have pocket on either side. I'm going to be putting two gels on my right side, two gels on my left side, and then my phone is going to be my spy belt, and that's that. If I need to take a fifth gel on the course, they're going to have them along the course. So probably when I take my first gel, I'll just replace it with another gel that's on the course while I'm still like early on in the race and I have like the bandwidth to be able to be like going over to the race table and like take the gel and not be like completely delirious. So that's my plan. But I'm going to be taking those every 5 miles. This is my plan. You know, who knows on race day what's going to happen, but this is my plan, is taking them every 5 miles. So taking the scratch gummies right before I start racing. And then at mile five, I'll take my first gel. And then I'll do it at 5, 10, 15, 20, and then probably 23, just because I want to take it obviously before 25, since that's almost at the end of the race. So I'll probably take the final two gels much closer together. This is all pending how my stomach feels, but that's my plan right now. And you do have to start eating way before you think you have to start eating, like way before. This is race day. This is not a long run. This is not like a dress rehearsal. This is race day. You need to keep giving your body and fueling your body with carbohydrates before you even think you need them. You need to start going. I know there are people who do every 5K, which is like almost every 3 miles. But I don't want to overload my stomach because I've had issues in the past, as I said. So that's my plan, is every 5 miles. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up this episode here. I hope it was helpful. I hope that everyone has a successful taper. I'm so excited for race day. Like, I genuinely have never been this excited for a race before in my life. I can't even, like, it just makes me like so happy to think about it. No matter what happens, as I said, I already put in the work in the training block. I'm so freaking proud of myself. I'm so proud of everyone else who has trained. I'm so thankful for the people who have been training alongside me at Whippets, at Endorphins, who have been following along my social media, who have messaged me, who are also training for races, who say that I've inspired them in any way and like helped them with their training, and that they've PR'd in their marathons this fall. Like, it's like, oh my God, it's the best. It's actually the best thing that's ever happened to me. So thank you so much for listening, for following along. I really, 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 really appreciate it more than you know. But I hope everyone has a great week, a successful taper, and I will talk to you guys in the next one. Bye.